I want to start this message today with an announcement about Dallas. So many of you know that I've been going to Dallas now for the last couple months. We have been working with a group there to plan a church and working together with them. I've been serving as the pastor of the church, and we are praying for leadership. We are praying for God's blessing and his direction and how it goes. But one of the things that we haven't announced is what was the name of the church. And the reason for that is we've been having a time of discussion at the board here at Rock Valley about whether this church in Dallas that we're starting should be a Rock Valley church and whether that is the right move for us to make. Because on the one sense, we have a church here that we love and that the people in Dallas love, and they want us to help them plan a church like this church that we have here. So Rock Valley in that sense is more than just the name of a community church. It's kind of an idea of what church can be, but also we are a community church. And we have our own church here, and we are a local church to this area. And so the question has been whether or not we should have our name there on that church, and that church should actually be part of Rock Valley Christian Church. And so we have not had unanimity in thought on the decision for that until just recently. And I get to say that I was wrong on my ideas of what it should be, but I'm so happy I was wrong. And yes, my wife's cheering in the background. But the reality is this, that there was something to be said about the fact that four people who started this church were not in unison in thought about something. And so we continued to talk about it. We continued to discuss. We continued to pray. We continued to fast. And in so doing, God did lead us to a very clear direction of what we're going to do there. So with that being said, we came to see that Dallas is not going to be a Rock Valley Christian Church. But what we are going to be doing is starting a new organization to be a community of churches that represent what it is that we love about Rock Valley, what they love about Rock Valley, with the statement of doctrine and the cultural approach that we have as a church to one another, to the service of God and to one another here in this place. And so what was so cool about this to me was we were taking time to fast and pray, and Stephanie had written something down after she had fasted and prayed, and Scott and I got together. And on the evening of the fast, I just realized this isn't right. And I actually was writing Scott an email. And as I was describing my thoughts, I'm like, we're going to be together tomorrow to fast and pray. I'm not going to share any of this. And maybe God's going to lead something better yet tomorrow. So I wrote this whole two paragraphs, and I just deleted the whole thing and just sent him a real short email about our meeting the next day. Well, we come together to fast and pray, and Scott says, well, I need to tell you what I see. And he laid out that we, instead of calling it Rock Valley, should acknowledge it as its own separate congregation, its own community church there in Dallas, and that what we should have is a community of churches that believe in the same basic things. And I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I was writing to you last night. And then he said, and I can't remember if he asked me if God gave me a name, but he said, I believe God gave me the name of the organization. And I said, what is it? And he said, 1412. And as soon as he said that, I knew right away, yes. Because as much as Rock Valley has a representation of a church, what is our byline? Keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, 1412, Revelation 1412, that this is really what it is, what people see when they come and talk about Rock Valley as a church and as what we're trying to do and what we're trying to be before the Lord God Almighty is to be 1412. That we are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And so what does it mean to be a 1412 church? It's a church that keeps the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So as the board of Rock Valley gathered and Scott laid this out for us and we talked about agreement, we talked about all that this is as a board. And so we voted as a board unanimously that Rock Valley Christian Church would be the first 1412 church that we would, because in everything that we are, that's what this organization is going to be committed to, bringing a community of churches together that want to be committed to the perseverance, the steadfastness, and the patience of the saints. And so the Dallas group has already voted. They're in two, so they are now church number two of 14, 12 churches. It was really interesting because when Stephanie was fasting, she said the one thing she wrote down after her fast that kept coming to her was, allow others to see that two churches can be cooperative without one controlling the other one. And that's what we want to do as part of the Church of God, is to have fellowship together, have friendship together, be supportive of one another, be a community. But they're their own church. They have their own leadership. They will have their own finances. They will have their own administration. They will set their own standards. And what we as 1412 will do, we will lay out the standards. So if you've ever read our doctrinal statement online, that's a good place to start because it starts with the Bible. And then from there, we will develop a cultural statement and a cultural approach, which is largely finished. Scott and I spent a lot of time on that this week going through that. So it's really exciting for us just to see the way God led this and basically revealed it to us, gave it to us, made us feel convicted. And I always feel good when I'm wrong. So that's the best part about it, because I was like, I want this to be a Rock Valley church. And you know what? That was not the right answer. And so just seeing that the leading of the Lord and knowing and beyond a shadow of doubt that this is what we were supposed to do and this was the course was a great thing. So Dallas congregation, welcome to 1412, and we're glad you're a part of it. So it's really a neat thing for me to be a part of this. So what I want to do today is talk a little bit about this whole concept of church. When you came to Rock Valley for the first time, maybe you're a first timer today, what is it that you would hope to find when you come to a church of God, where God is this 1412 concept? What would you hope to find at church when you came to visit or that you're here now? What do you hope to find? Yes, Bill. Love. Doug, did you have your hand up there? God's Spirit. Okay. Yes, sir. Sean. Like-minded believers. Yes, yeah. Unity of the Spirit. Unity of the Spirit. Yes. Listeners. People who listen. I love that. That's a great thing to find at a church, isn't it? Yes. Spirit of truth. Oh, sorry. Spirit and truth. Beautiful. Yes. Family. Yes. Bible-based, absolutely, sir. Encourage all, right? Because what does it say? To each one, gifts are given. Encourage all to use gifts. Beautiful. Yes. Doers of word, not hearers only. Yes. Faith, beautiful. Yes. Okay, so celebrated when God said to. How about that? Write that down. Yes, sir. Friendship and devotion. Yes. Did I see your hand up, Joanne? Multicultural. Beautiful. Yes, Aaron. Ooh. So she said leadership stands against evil. Yes. Prayer. Prayers. Yes. Worship in spirit and truth. I'm going to just add on there to Sean's. Yes. Direction. Interesting. Direction and instruction. Okay. Yes, Bernard. Humility and genuineness. All right. Take one more. Ethan. Like the Bereans. Okay. Now, there are so many things as you kind of sit back and think, because having done this exercise, I agree, this can be a lot of things. But I want us to look at just what is here and some of the things that we might describe, what it looks like, how it looks like, what's being done. But I want to talk a little bit about this concept of 1412. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation 1412. Revelation 1412. It says here in Revelation 1412, here's the patience of the saints. Now, that word patience in the Greek, it's not necessarily like maybe you think of patience like waiting in a line or something and not complaining, right? It's a steadfastness. It's what we do when we continue on in a way that is patient, enduring, steadfast. This is what we do. And so what God's saying here in these verses in Revelation 14, 12 is this is the way my kids go. This is how we live. This is how we go as children of God and as saints of the Lord God Almighty. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, Sean, in your comment, you hit on something very powerful here when it comes to 14:12. Because there has been in the church this dichotomy that can happen sometimes where there is an emphasis on spirit but not truth, where there's a yearning and a desire for the Lord but without knowledge. There's also a thing where there can be so much knowledge or truth, and truth can take you down a road of more knowledge to the point where the spirit gets left out. And so what happens is there are these word marriages, whether we say spirit and truth or the relationship between the spirit and the word. See, because what would life be if we didn't have God's word? It would be very different for us, right? How would we be like the Bereans, right? To go prove if we don't have the word. But yet, what is the understanding of the word without the spirit? First John says the Holy Spirit is given to teach us, to lead us into the truth. So there is an understanding that we need to have both the worship in spirit and in truth. In fact, hold your place here in Revelation 14. Turn with me over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4. Notice here in verse 23. John chapter 4 verse 23. It says this. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. If we could say there was one essential thing about a 14:12 church, it's that we are seeking with our being to worship God in spirit and in truth. We don't neglect how much we need God and how much we pursue after God in heart with passion, devotion, love, attention. And we don't turn away using that as a crutch to say, but I don't need the word and the truth to follow it. So back in Revelation 14, he says, here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Who's the focus of that? You know, when you think of the whole concept of what we are as a church, if we think about God, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, what did Paul say? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. This is at the heart of everything that we are as a church. Why are we here? What are we doing here? We are here because we share a belief that God has brought us into fellowship with Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He brings us together to worship Him, to set our eyes on Him, to adore Him, to follow Him. And we make God the center. This is the essence of what church should be. No matter what name or label you put on it, what it should be is God has to be at the center of everything we do. Therefore, when we look at some of the things that we do, like the what's, well, when we look at why do we celebrate what God says? Or expository preaching, teaching from the Bible. Why? Because God's at the center. So this isn't about David. It's not about Scott. It's not about us as a group of people. It's not thinking that we have some beliefs that are so much better than everybody else, or thinking of ourselves higher than we ought. It is actually based on a humility to say, there is a God and I'm not God. And the God that created all things sent His Son for me, and He revealed His word to me, and He's given me life. And now because of that belief and the conviction that I'm not here on accident, it wasn't chaos that brought about the existence of this person or that person or any of us, that God put us here on purpose, that He formed us, He knew us before we were even formed in our mother's wombs, that He put us on a planet, and because we have that truth, and because we understand that, we are seeking to worship Him, because He's seeking for us to come worship. And ultimately, the relationship that we have, it is all born from this. So we are a church of prayer. Why are we a church of prayer? It's not because prayer is the practice that we've determined. It's because of a love and knowledge of God. See, if we love God, if we adore God, if we want the involvement and the presence of God in our lives, it's going to drive us to pray. This is the why. This is the what. There are so many whats that we can look at. But the drive of the church to keep centered is to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The essence of keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus is saying, it's because of you, God. Why do I keep the commandments? Because of you. Why do I keep faith in Jesus? Because of you. What you have done through Jesus makes me realize I've got no other hope outside of Christ. The whole purpose of my life, I find in Him. I find that in Him, I actually find life. In giving up myself for Christ, I find a new life and a new identity found in Him, abiding in Him. And now, because I want to abide in God, it directs what I do with my behavior. The what of life, the what of church, how it looks. So when we come to Rock Valley, we have a prayer meeting every morning at 9:45. Why? Because we're desperate for God to be in this congregation right now. Because there is no ministry outside of the power of the Holy Spirit. And what do we have to offer if we don't have the Word of God, the truth of God, the Spirit of God? We got nothing to offer. There's nothing to offer. We can never forget how much we need God, how desirous we need Him to be. And so we set a time of prayer meeting. We say during the service, we'll say multiple prayers. We offer to pray after services. When the service is over and people are standing around talking, you know what I love seeing? Groups praying. They started fellowshipping. They started talking together. They learned enough about what's going on in each other's life. And because God is real and because His presence is here and He's at the center of this meeting, then the most natural thing to do is to start praying with somebody for whatever situation they're in, or if they just found a great news like Monica, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, we can't hear a story like that and not thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've done and what was able to be shared with us. That is where prayer comes from. So praying as groups, it's not just a matter of the pastors praying for people that show up. It's all of us being willing to pray together. The culture and the practice comes from God being at the center of what we do. What else do? We worship in song, musically. Why do we do that? Because God's at the center of this meeting. Because we're not here for ourselves. And we're not here just for club. We're here to worship Almighty God, to bring glory to Him, to remember His works, to thank Him, to praise Him. And so what do we want our attention to be on during that time? It's not just a matter of singing songs to go through the motions. I mean, God said, hey, come forward, sing a new song, shout joyfully to the Lord, come before the Lord, enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Bring out the stringed instruments and the different instruments and the different ways to praise Him. Bring out clashing cymbals and even strong clashing cymbals. It can get a little loud. Read the Psalms. That's what it says to do. It's part of what we've learned. It's part of what we've read. I did not know crashing cymbals were a part of worship until I read in the Scriptures, praise me with crashing cymbals and even loud crashing cymbals. Those are things that God says. Now, it doesn't mean that we are to the place where, well, we got to have a crashing cymbal. Because what is the heart of worship? The heart of worship is not about we have a guitar and a bass and we have a drum set. It's not about how perfectly we can play the music. It's not about the things that we could do as artists and instruments. It's about God. Everything is about God, the focus. So when we're here to worship, we're not thinking about, oh, they missed that note. They hit. No, because our attention is upward. And when, as a group of people, we remember who we're here for and we remember what we're doing, now worship is a true offering and expression to God. And what is He looking for? Those who will come and worship in spirit and truth. Don't you love that John 4 says, the Father is searching for such. He's looking. Pick me! When we come to Rock Valley, pick me, pick us. look, God, we're here. We want to worship you in spirit and truth. And so we will engage in worship. And he's like, well, I don't know this song. We can listen to the words. We can look at the words. We can pray the words. We can drop to our knees. We can raise our hands. We can shout for joy. We can cry tears of joy or of sadness or of repentance. But that time in this church is about worshiping God and drawing near to God with expectation that he will show up. See, we worship God because we expect he will be here. We believe in him, that where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is. And we know when we gather together, we have expectation of God. And when we have expectation of his presence, do you know what else we have? Expectation of his ministry. Because where God is, he can't help but be God. And when God is with us, he ministers to us. He gives us understanding of his word. He gives us revelation of who he is. He gives us gifts by which to serve other people. He gives us everything we need. Isn't it awesome that no one knows our insufficiency like God? And if we can just be abiding in God, with God, he fills every insufficiency in our lives. Every insufficiency is filled by God. And so why don't we worship? I need you, God. I love you. You're the one I want. Less of me, more of you. Less of me, more of you all the time. Because God, you are my everything. You are the one I need and the one I desire. We have teaching. And not just teaching of what we want. Teaching from the Bible, which is the word of truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said in John 17:3. All scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God would be complete. You see, when we are in here and we're wanting God, who are you? What do you desire for me? How do you want me to be the person you created me to be? I need to know what God thinks. And the challenge is for me not to try to put my thoughts onto God and go in with my ideas into the word of God, but rather to listen to God's word and say, God, speak what you would have us to know. Teach me. It's a very intimate thing to come to the word of God and realize all of this has been breathed by God. All of this is profitable that I may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I mean, if God makes such bold statements, shouldn't we, in acknowledging the great creator of the universe, accept the statement by faith and realize that everything we need, he's teaching us here in this word. And the thing is, at a church, it's not about what I want to say. So I have people all the time say, oh, I'd love for you to speak on this topic or that topic. Could you address this or that? And my answer has been the same since the day Rock Valley started. It's not my job. It's not my right. It's not my privilege. I tell this, whether I'm speaking, I tell myself, Scott and I talk about this. If Juan is going to give a sermon or somebody else, Brian, there's one answer I give every time. If somebody says, anything you want me to speak on, I want you to speak on exactly what God wants you to speak on. Because I am not the head of this church. I am simply a servant within the church. Understanding that, I know that there is a head, Jesus Christ, who knows every person in this room. So the question isn't, what am I going to speak on to myself? It's to God. God, what do you want me to talk about today? What do you want me to share today? What do you want me to bring? Because if I'm not doing that, I'm already making it something this isn't supposed to be. Because what is a 1412 church? It's a church focused on God in the center. There is no other center. Everything revolves around God the Father. Jesus is ushering us to the Father. The Father said, my Son, he will have preeminence in all things. Jesus said, I go away and I send the Holy Spirit. The Father sends the Holy Spirit because we need the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth, to guide us, to direct us, to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, to help us pray as well. We don't know how. And what you see at the heart of this is there is an utter desperation for God. That is a church we need to continually have. I'm not here to go through motions with you. If you want to go through motions, church, you're welcome to stay. But this is not what I desire for us as a body of believers, that we would come here and go through the motions. We realize we come here not just for the meeting. The meeting's important, but we are the church. We are the church. And we go out from this place after these meetings today. Where do we go? We go as the church. What do? We do as the church. Why do we do it? Because we're centered here. In the book of Hebrews, it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some, especially as you see the day approaching, but rather come together to do what? Stir up love and good works. Hopefully that's what I'm doing for you today. Because the purpose of what God is desiring in our lives is that we would be stirred, that we would have passion and devotion, that we would learn what it is to love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. See, that is what's at the core of a 14:12 church of Revelation 14. The steadfastness is they love God. They're on fire for God. They're going to do what God says. And friends, that is what we have to be engaged in. Anything else is going through the motion. It's having a label, but not being the church that God has called us to be. Thank you. Amen. So, God has to be at the center of everything. Where do pastors and leaders fit in? Pastors are called to shepherd. Leaders are called to lead. Not in the way that the world would do it, where they have authority and use it over people, but rather the way Christ does it, lifting up. Christ took all the leadership, power, glory, awesomeness that he had. What did he use it for? To lift all of us up to God. That we not only would be saved from sin and death, but we would have life and an inheritance eternal with him. How did he use it? He used power to give, to elevate others. Pastors realize we're just a small part of the body, and we're just a part of the body. We are not it. We are not the show. This is not about ego or having things. This is not about building up a personal ministry or a business in the name of ministry or having anything like that. It is saying whatever time that God gives to me, whatever talent, whatever gift, I am to use it to build other people up. See, it can't just be the David and Scott show. That's not what this is about. In fact, we would be missing, was that you, Brian, that said, encourage all to use your gifts. I would that everybody would be using their gifts. If it's in hospitality, be hospitable. If it's in mercy, show mercy. In exhortation, do it with exhortation. If it's in giving and being generous, do it like God would do it. If it's in teaching, do it in teaching. If it's in Bible study, if it's in times of prayer, pray. Pray with people. Pray for people. You all have gifts, differing gifts. If it's prophesying, prophesy in measure of your faith. If it's doing works of miracles or healings, do it in measure of your faith that God gives you. But be engaged. But here's what I can tell you. Go back and read it in 1 Corinthians 12. It says that God, through the Spirit, delivers to each one, not some, not a few, not even most. But everyone in the body receives the Spirit of God to have a gift whereby the body is to be coming together to edify itself in love. So the encouragement isn't just to come here and hear a sermon. If that's all that we're doing, we are missing the point. The meeting is important that we come together to hear the Word of God, to share together, to have fellowship, to worship God together. It's a meeting where we come together, but so that we can leave this place and function as the church of God wherever we go. And we can come together during the week and we can have pockets of ministry. We can go visit those that are shut-ins and those that are widows. We can go visit the orphans. We can help feed the poor. We can be engaged in ministry. We can do Bible studies. We can have neighborhood Bible studies. Whatever God leads. The whatever, though, comes from where? It comes from right here in the center. You see, if we want to be fruitful, and William gave a wonderful talk at the School of Ministry this week about this, if we want to be fruitful for the Lord, the center is God. If we abide in God, we won't be unfruitful. Christ says, I'm the vine. There's nothing you're going to do outside of me. So what do we have to do, church? We stay focused on the vine. We stay focused on being connected. If we think that being a church is about being busy with activity, let me tell you, there's no end to activity. But it says there's diversities of activities. There's diversities of administrations. There's diversities of what the Spirit's going to have you do. It's not all going to look the same. In fact, it's not supposed to, because different body parts have different roles, and everything works best when every member does its share. Now we're getting somewhere. You see, because we're connected to the head, the center point, the preeminent one, Jesus the Christ. We are following him. We are serving him. We are honoring him. And so the teaching has to come from him. And the pastors need to remember, you're just one of the brothers. You're just filling a role that maybe is a little more seen, but that's it. You fill a role a little more seen, but that's it. But we together are the church. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family of believers, and we should be engaging together. And so this isn't a place where I can come up with my own agenda. This isn't a place where I can tell you what I think. I have to be in submission to the Lord, and I have to preach his word, because he has to lead us, not me. Not me. Not Scott. Not any man. God, the head of every man, is Christ. That is the government of the church. That is how we work. And God gives gifts to the church to fulfill roles of leadership and shepherding and being apostles and being evangelists and helpers and administrators and whatever. For what? To help the whole body come together. See, friends, we need each other in the sense that we all have a responsibility to one another. What the Spirit of God is doing in you is to be a blessing to me. And hopefully what the Spirit of God is doing in me to be a blessing to you. Right? All right. This relationship that we have with God leads us to fellowship. We are not here for the show. We're not here for the event. We are here to stir up love and good works. How do we do that? We come together with prayer, with worship, with teaching the word, with leadership and encouragement, and with fellowship with one another. See, we're not just coming here at the last minute. Well, maybe some of us are, but we're not. Some of us past the last minute. But what we're doing is we're coming to a time of being with the family. It's not just to come to hear a sermon and split. See, that is what is consumer. That it's saying, I need to grab what I need and I'm out. Now, some days you might need to grab what you need and be gone. Sometimes you might just say, I just need people to pray for me today. I'm so heavy. Sometimes it's going to be that I'm in some sin. I need to talk to my beloved friend face to face and to share. I need help. You see, that's what fellowship's about. But what it is our preparation to come here. You are to be servants of Jesus Christ. Your role in the body is to come ready to serve and to give. You may need to be receiving, but part of receiving actually is found in the giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So when you come to church and you come to the fellowship and the meeting that's coming together, are you preparing your heart for what can I bring today, God? And if you say, well, I don't know what I can bring, guess what's so beautiful? The way we bring anything to fellowship is right here. Right when we have God in the center. If you say, I don't know what to bring, do you realize that, in my opinion, you're in the perfect spot to serve? You're in the perfect spot because you're saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I pray this prayer every week because I don't know what to do. I need God to direct my steps, to guide my thoughts. I don't know what to do. I don't know who's going to ask for prayer today. I don't know what thing I might uncover in counseling or in conversations. I don't know. The beauty is, I don't know. And even if I did, what would I do about it? But here's one thing I can be assured of. And somebody was saying, I gave the secret away in school of ministry. You want to know the secret? That before the opportunity for ministry comes up, be in fasting and prayer for the help that we need from God before you come. Because if you're praying and asking God to bless you, God, just make me available, make me a good listener, and help me to say what you would want me to say and to keep my mouth shut where I shouldn't speak. Help me to pray and to beseech you for them, to ask for what? Grace to help in time of need. I love that it says Jesus is a faithful high priest. And he says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Do you realize that's really the best we offer anybody? Because what does God's grace look like? It looks like anything. Because what is every gift of the Spirit? It's charisma. It's the manifestation of charis. Charisma is the manifestation of God's grace. So if you're wondering, what do you have to offer? The Spirit gives to each one as He wills. The Spirit gives gifts to each one. So the grace of God that is in us by the Spirit means that any of us that are in unity with God, where the Spirit of God is present in our lives, we are now available for anything. Do you understand that? When by faith we come believing that God has blessed us with the Spirit, that means there's nothing I can't do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be who I need to be for every moment. Not according to my will, but according to the will of God. Not with the gift that I've asked for, but the gift that's given to me by the Holy Spirit. I can be who I need to be. And see, as a church, we should have the confidence to understand that when we gather around the center who is our God. It is for Him, and what He supplies in fellowship is what we need to receive and what we need to give. This is the work of the Creator, changing us, causing us to be humble. And when you are listening to somebody tell a story in their life and you're like, I got nothing to say here, that's the beautiful time to say, I need help. I don't know how to counsel this. I don't know what to say. And maybe the thing is, you just have to say, I'm not exactly sure what to say, and I'm not exactly sure how to do it, but it says in Romans 8 that we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, but the Spirit makes intercession according to the will of God. Let's trust in that and start praying and asking for the Spirit to lead this prayer. See, that, church, is what we are to look like, because our steadfastness is to God in keeping His commandments and the faith of Jesus. We should have expectation in what God has promised that we would have. And then, because of who God is, we engage in our community, not just here, but outside the walls. Some of you have been working on pro-life, getting the message out to women of the hope of Jesus Christ in the life. Some of you have been working in soup kitchens. Some of you have been feeding the poor. Some of you have been going to old folks' homes and memory care centers and visiting people and talking with people. Some of you are going into older folks' homes that are shut-ins and they're stuck and they need service and ministry. You're finding ways to do it. And that's what we have to keep doing, finding ways to let the Word of God and the love of God flow out of our lives to other people. And so we can band together and do it. I think we can do better as a church. But here's the thing. It's not about activity. It's about focus on what He wants us to be doing. Because maybe for 10 of you, it's going to be one thing. And for another 10 of you, it's going to be something different. And not every ministry has to be the same. Part of the leadership is you serve people and you lead in ministry. And never be offended because your ministry is refused. Just acknowledge that's a part of life. We can't be offended and knocked off course because people aren't participating maybe the way we want them to be. Have the humility to say, I'm here to pass the cookie plate. From day one of Rock Valley, my mindset has been this. We have a cookie plate of God's word. We pass the cookie plate in this church. I don't know who you are. I don't need to know who you are and what you think. If you want a cookie, I've got a cookie for you. I serve them warm and tasty. You've got to love the cookies. But here's the thing. If you're passing the cookie plate, you're like, I put a lot of work into these cookies. And they don't want them? That's okay. They don't have to take the cookie. And if they can remain peaceable, they don't need to take the cookie and they can stay as long as they want. Why would they need to take the cookie? Is it about, well, I put all that effort in and you're not taking my gift? Well, let them take the gift when they're ready. See, leadership says, I'm not going to be put off course when people don't take my cookies. Because here's the thing. We're not the only true church. We're just a little sliver of it here in Murrieta, California. And there's another little sliver in Dallas. And there's just little slivers of the church, little pockets wherever God's Spirit abides. So you don't have to be at this church to be part of the true church. You don't have to come to Rock Valley. You don't have to agree with David or Scott or the things that we teach and basically go through and say, oh, yeah, those are the only sermons I can listen to. That's not what we teach here. We're just here to serve those that want to be served. And we try to present the Word of God as honestly as we can, and we try to make it easy to agree because we try to make God the focus of the teaching, so that when we have the teaching from God's Word by people that are engaged, community and fellowship become part of it. Because what are we really doing? We're bringing God to the party. So don't be busy. I'll give you the story real quick. When I started in ministry, I tried to do a bunch of stuff. Stephanie and I, we created newsletters. I dispersed them at Barnes and Noble. Went out and tried to do Bible studies, engaging in people in different ways. Went off to minister by calling into Argentina. I tried to go to a hospital. I tried to go to a prison. Every place I turned, it just seemed like dead end after dead end. You know what the key was? I wasn't spending enough time right here. This was the key for me. And it's the key that I believe about anything that goes on at Rock Valley or in the 1412 churches or wherever God might lead me or you to go anywhere. It's about abiding in Him, praying to Him, submitting to Him, surrendering life to Him, and just giving Him glory. When we put our attention on serving the Lord and seeking Him with prayer and with fasting and with worship, guess what God does? He says, well, now I'm going to do this and this. And now I want you to be here, or I'm going to bring people to you because I want you to teach them to focus on me, to love me, to worship me, to keep my commandments. I will send the people. God is more connected than anybody. You want to get in with people? You got to know one. Here's the connecting point right here. Everybody is connected through God. If He wants to direct somebody into your life, if He wants to put ministry in your life, if He wants you to be engaged in service in any which way in your community, He already knows all the people. He's got all the money. He's got everything needed for you to be engaged and be successful in what you do. But here's the thing. Whose plan is it? Because it's not the David plan. See, when I was trying to go to the hospital, I was thinking, oh, God would certainly want me to do this. But He didn't tell me to go to that hospital. So when I started praying, and I'm like, God, where's the ministry? And all it took was to start praying. And after a bit of time, somebody I didn't even know came up and said, hey, would you pray for me? And after I prayed for that person, another person came up to me and said the same thing. And 8 hours later, I finished praying for people. 8 hours straight, I prayed for people, and I didn't go searching for a single one. And then what happened was, I did get the invite to go to the hospital. I did go to the hospital, and it was free-flowing. And man, the number of things that I saw God do in that hospital for little kids, it was amazing. I will never forget the experience of that day. Guess what? I didn't orchestrate any of it. Because the point is not about me. The point is about God. The point is not about us as a people. The point is about God. And what will God do in our lives? We want everything to be God-directed, God-focused. So, why do we pray? Because we need God. Why are we not just going through motions of singing songs and worshiping? We need God. Why are we looking for teaching from the Word? Because we need God. And everything that we do has to be associated with remembering why we're doing what we're doing. It's for God. If we start going through anything without needing God, guys, we're going to go down the wrong path. We will go down the wrong path. Life is really coming to understand the greatness of God and how desperately we need Him. And if we do not appreciate the need for God, we've got to go back. He who is forgiven much, loves much. If you're not feeling much love for the Lord, go back. Reassess. Look at where you are without Him. and develop a genuine love and appreciation for how much we need the living God in our lives. And then maybe the last thing we would talk about here would just be, what are our general practices? Because God is at the center of this church, when someone comes in who's a sinner, do we say, get out? No? Good, because I didn't want to have to leave. So I was nervous there. You guys hesitated. So it was like, whoa. The reality is, we are all in recovery from sin because we carry a law of sin in our members. What do we come here for? Because we acknowledge that we are sinners and we are in need of God. And we meet together because we share a common faith in Jesus Christ and the blood that cleanses us from all iniquity. We acknowledge that. This is not a place for the judgment that comes against people. This is a place for love and care. It's not a place to test when people come in. Well, what do you think about this? And what do you believe about this? And what about that? No, what we want to do is focus on the people. Who are you? How did you come here today? What's going on in your life? And we engage. That's how you build family. When the care is for the people, not just what the people think, not just what the people believe, not just what the people are practicing, but we just start loving one another. And let me tell you, this has been the most loving congregation I've ever been a part of. It has been the most loving church, the most caring church. I so appreciate you, because what the people in Dallas saw and what they experienced in coming was love. Love. It was the first thing that was said up here today. Because by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And that is what God has been telling us to do. And that's why he's saying, what is the steadfastness of the saints? Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Why? Because that's the way it works. It's together. There's a unity of it. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, notice this in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. What did we just read? Keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That's what a 1412 church looks like. That's where the love comes from. God in the center, our devotion to him, comes out in all these different ways. The culture that we have is simply just the expression of love. And it should always be that, because it's coming out of a love for God. And how does he love people? Well, how does he love you? Because if you know how God loves you, then you know how to love somebody else. Because Jesus said, love just as I loved. Paul wrote, love just as Jesus loved. Forgive just as Jesus forgave you. And so we realize that relationships are the key, that go beyond the doctrinal belief. What unifies us is Jesus Christ. This is our point of unity right here. Do we have doctrine? Yes, we do. Do we teach the word of God without compromise? Yes, we do. And yes, we will. And where we're wrong, we will repent and preach it as plainly as we can. But because we're preaching the truth, we're going to preach it in love, because we're centered here. And we won't compromise on it. But that lack of compromise with God's word doesn't mean we become unloving toward those that are in disagreement with it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. And that is our role. We are here for salvation. We are here for building up. We are here for teaching the word. We are here for encouraging good. Somebody said that leadership stands against evil. Yep, it's a general practice. If God says it's evil, we're against it. If he says it's sin, we call it sin. We have to. Otherwise, whose church is this? We're keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. We're walking in spirit and in truth. We're worshiping in spirit and in truth. And we're coming to know our God more intimately and more deeply. When you go through the Word of God, you will find that when you decouple keeping the commandments of God from the faith of Jesus, you have all kinds of issues. When one focuses on faith but not keeping the commandments, guess what happens? It says, like in Peter, they turn the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ into licentiousness. And the very thing that they were pulled out of in the world, they let them right back to it. And he said it would have been better had they never known the holy commandment than to have known it and to have turned from it. It's like a dog returning to its own vomit. You see, if you say that you know Jesus and keep not his commandments, what does it say? You're a liar. The truth is not in you. You can't decouple it. But at the same time, you can't be so focused on keeping the commandments of God that you're rejecting Jesus Christ himself. Because that's the other side that happens when it gets decoupled. And it goes down a road of legalism. And it goes down a road of what am I going to do? And it goes down a road of what am I doing? It's my righteousness and what I do. And the definition of being a Christian is defined by I keep the Sabbath, I tithe, I don't commit adultery. Really? Because those are keeping the commandments of God. But if you're keeping the commandments or trying to without Jesus, let me tell you, you're not keeping them. And if you don't believe me, go read the Gospels, because there's a whole group of people called the Pharisees that were really busy trying to keep the law of God without Jesus Christ in the midst. That's what you get. I know this not just from reading in the Word. I practiced it. I'm a Pharisee where I decoupled. I had Christ first. And then when I realized I need to keep the commandments, I kind of left Christ behind and went after the commandments. They were decoupled. It wasn't until God brought me together and said, no, you're missing it. It's keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus that is the steadfastness of the saints. It is not rejecting Jesus and saying we don't need Jesus or we need to move past Jesus. I'm not ever moving past Jesus. And he's going to have the preeminence in everything in this church as long as I have breath and I have any say in what goes on here, because Christ is the one to be preeminent in all things. He is the center. We should be loving him. He's leading us to the Father, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And friends, if we just have that in head knowledge, but we're not practicing that in life application, we're going to miss it, because we only can come to the Father through Christ. We come to worship in Christ. And our Father said, he who honors the Son honors the Father. He who dishonors the Son dishonors the Father. Let that never be said of us, that we dishonor the Son, nor the Father, nor the Holy Spirit. Because we need God in us all the time. And the Word of God tells us exactly the roles of our Father, of Jesus, and of the Holy Spirit. We need that work. And that centers us. And that brings us to a keeping of the commandments, because we love God. And what we see when we see the commandments, we shouldn't be seeing a list of rules like, well, I got to jump through this hoop. You know, it's like, do this thing where it's a test of obedience without thoughtfulness. It wasn't just what. Sometimes we look at God's commandments, it's like, what do we need to do? We're asking the wrong questions so much of God's commandments. The question's why? Why, God? Why do you want me to pray for those who persecute me? Why do you want me to love my enemy? Why do you want me to put you first? Why do you want me committed in my marriage? Why don't you want me to bear false witness? Why, God? Because, see, in the why, what we're doing is not just knowing what the instruction is, not just the what and the how. We're coming into the very heart of God. And what makes the church of God a vibrant place is that God is abiding in the heart of the people. By the Spirit of God, we are alive in him to know who he is, to walk in his ways, to follow him. And all of our pursuits are for God. And when our heart is to make him first, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors ourselves, when we're keeping those commandments of God, we become centered, and everything around it then can be done for the right reason in the purity of heart that God desires, because he's in the heart of it. He's in the heart of his people, and it's a beautiful thing to behold. We can go through the motions, But we might be totally missing it if we haven't invited God into the center. Now, if you find yourself here today as a person who's searching, as a person who's longing, as a person who's wanting more of God, don't leave this sanctuary without getting prayer or without taking at least the time to pray here in this place. You know, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. There's a powerful thing about coming to someone you trust, a friend that you love. And if you don't have a friend here, if you're a visitor, but you desire prayer today, because maybe the Spirit is convicting you in your own heart, there's people set to pray in the back of the room. They're ready to pray with you. All of us need prayer. All of us need ministry. When we understand how the church is really to be functioning, the greatest thing is when one of you say, David, can I pray for you before you speak today? That is such an honor to me that somebody would be willing to sacrifice a moment to pray. That's why I love the prayer meetings. That's why I love coming together. Because what we're really saying is, God, we need you in everything. And we can't even begin to have a worship service or to serve one another if we aren't coming to you in prayer. We desperately need you in everything. And so if you need prayer today, please know I'll stay here all day if I have to, because I want you to be prayed for. But there are so many people here that want to pray with you. Pray for one another. Love one another. Care for one another. And act as the church. Friends, this is what it was when Scott received the name 1412. That we would be a church focused on God. That we would have a culture based on our love for him. To keep his commandments. And to keep the faith of Jesus Christ. Let's worship him.